With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night, it is 9 p.m., and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Riceballs Donahue, with you, going to take you up until 11 o'clock right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And I wake up this morning, obviously, you know the number, 646-478-5554. You can friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceballs, you can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. I wake up this morning, and I say to myself, wow, 17 days till basketball starts, and real quick, we'll be joined by New York Knicks assistant general manager, two-time NBA All-Star Olympian, Allen Houston, will be joining the show in about 10 minutes right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, and at about 10 o'clock, Knicks beat writer from Newsday, Alan Hahn, also author of The Knicks Fix, one of the best Knicks blogs around, obviously, will be joining me as well at 10 p.m. right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, The Knicks Blog Radio. 646-478-5554 is the number. And I want to take calls a little early tonight because I don't know how much time. Also, Edgar Burgos, he's the editor of the Streetball 2003 Rucker Park documentary that's been going all over the Internet. He'll be joining me at about 10:30. So I'm going to try to take some calls, actually, in about 3 or 4 minutes on the show. And what I want to get into tonight, obviously any New York Knicks basketball-related issue you can call me about at 646-478-5554. But what I'm trying to figure out, and, you know, I like to think that I know everything, but I don't when it comes to the Knicks. I don't know everything. I think I do, but I certainly don't. And I'm looking at this roster, and I'm trying to figure out, one, you know, is it going to be an 8-man rotation? Is it going to be a 10-man rotation? Is it going to be a 12-man rotation, which probably won't be a 12-man rotation? Who's going to start? Who's going to get big minutes off the bench? Who's going to play? And I'm kind of curious, and I want to know from you, what do you guys think? What's your starting lineup? I'll tell you mine a little bit later on in the show, what I think my starting lineup would be. But I want to know right now from you, the fan, and we're going to take your calls right now because Allen Houston's going to be joining us in a few minutes. At 646-478-5554, what do you think the New York Knicks starting lineup will be? Let's go out to you. Let's go out to the phones early tonight. You know, usually I don't take calls until about 15, 20 minutes into the show, and we usually get a lot of calls, but tonight we're guest-heavy on the show, and I want to go out to you early tonight. So let's go out to you. Let's go out to the phones. You know the drill. I'll say your area code. Tell me your name. Tell me where you're calling from. If I sound a little wacky tonight, I think I'm a little under the weather, but I will be okay because I'm a trooper. So let's start it off. 646-478-5554 is the number. And let's go to area code 347. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello?
Yo, what's going on?
Hey, it's Jonathan from Harlem.
Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, Anthony. Before I start, I just want to say, you know, keep your head up. You know, I hope everything is, you know, going well, you know, with your personal stuff, you know. I follow your Facebook stuff, your status, you know, just in check. Everything's going all well. It's all love. Hopefully, the Knicks have a good season. Bring your spirits up, cheer you up and the family. You know, let's get ready to go.
No question about that, and thank you for the support and prayers, and it means a lot for sure.
Yeah. So on to the Knicks. I mean, with football coming to start, starting Sunday, me being a Giant fan and a Knicks fan, like, honestly, I have never even with all the off-season acquisitions that my favorite teams have, you know, made over the past couple of years, I have never been so excited for, like...
For the Giants
Giants and Knicks, like, together.
I'm a Giants fan as well. I know this is a basketball show, but you got to be one of the first people I've heard in the last few weeks to say, I'm really pumped about the Giants this year.
I have never been so excited for, like, the Giants and the Knicks at the same season.
You're probably thinking from the school of thought the Giants and the Knicks are going to surprise some people this year.
Exactly. Just because, you know, the whole Kenny Phillips and, you know, Antero, the whole, you know, thing that the Giants have made, the improvements, and the Knicks, man. I mean, I'm on their page now, and they just posted up, like, Timofey in a Knick uniform. They got six Knicks up there, and it's just great. But with the Knicks, I'm honestly, like, I don't think people realize how good of a trade this could be with, you know, the whole David Lee thing. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about Randolph.
Players back. You know, Anthony Randolph.
Exactly. Like,
you know, Anthony Randolph could be a stud. Azubuike's an energy guy. Roni Turkoff's an energy guy. He'll block a few shots, get some rebounds, and knock someone on their ass. And that's what the Knicks did. I think the main player the Knicks got in that trade was Anthony Randolph. Azubuike and Turkoff will help. I think Turkoff will help a lot, especially with the personality of the team. The Knicks really need to have an identity this year, and I think that's something Roni Turkoff could help with. But from a basketball standpoint, I think Anthony Randolph has a chance to be a stud. And if you remember the 2008 draft when the Knicks drafted Danilo Gallinari, the Knicks, Anthony Randolph was very high on the Knicks list that year.
Exactly. And I'm going to make a small prediction, and I'll go with that,
sure,
because I know a lot of people want to get on. This is going to be a great show. I'm excited to hear about Allen Houston and especially Allen Hahn, because he always has great insight. My prediction is by game, I will say probably by game 40, let's say middle of the year, maybe after the All-Star break, Timofey Mozgov will be the starting center of the Knicks. And I think he will play down the stretch of Robin Lopez, as he's been compared a lot to him. I don't know how similar they are, but in terms of the role. Because if he plays, I mean, it's different, but I'm really excited to watch him play tomorrow. You know, I don't care about the score.
Too. I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen him play that much yet. I'm sure most people haven't. But listen, we got to see what he can do in the pro game. Just because, Carlos Arroyo dominated the international play back in the summer of 2004. That was never a great pro. Obviously, center, point guard, two different positions. But can't get too excited over international play. But, you know, it's something to look forward to. No doubt about that.
Exactly. Knicks fans, real quick, tomorrow, don't get caught up in the score or anything, and don't judge him too much on one game, but I'm looking at the small things, like how does he run with the USA, with a Tyson Chandler? You know, how does he run? How does he guard maybe Kevin Love? How does he guard the pick and roll, the athleticism? Just the little things. I just want to see, you know, because it's NBA competition. These are players he's gonna play. When the Knicks play the Bulls, you know, he's going to have to guard a pick and roll with Derrick Rose. So I'm looking at the small things, not too much stats. You know, I just want to see if he could come in for 15 minutes, maybe 20, and see what he can do. So, Anthony, love you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you for the support, man. Definitely appreciate it. 646-478-5554 is the number, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We'll be joined by Allen Houston, New York Knicks assistant GM to Donnie Walsh, also obviously former All-Star, had a great NBA career with the Knicks. So I'm looking at this roster, and I'm saying to myself, what's the starting lineup going to be? And that's going to depend on what happens in training camp, you know. But as of right now, I have a few ideas. I don't have my lineup officially down to a science of what the starting lineup's going to be. And as a person who's watched basketball my whole life, played basketball my whole life, you know, obviously it matters who finishes the basketball game, not who starts it. But a big topic of conversation on talk radio with sports fans is who's the starting lineup going to be. So, as of right now, I got a few different lineups in my head. I want to know what you think. Here's my first gut instinct. Now, if Amari Stoudemire, I know he mentioned he doesn't want to play center to start with. So if Amari's not going to start out playing center, which I do think Amari's going to play a lot of five, I'm looking at right now is, you know, I'm not going to say, I'd love to, you know, in a perfect world to say, yeah, Eddie Curry is going to start. Can we really count on Eddie Curry? I'm a positive guy. I like Eddie. Eddie's a good guy. But can we really count on Eddie Curry? It's not fair to. So as of right now, and I don't want to pencil in Mozgov as a starting center yet because I haven't seen him enough yet. Is there a chance come, you know, October 27th in Toronto that – Mozgov's the starting center, I suppose, but let's see. So here's my start, one of my starting lineups right now. Go with Roni Turioff at the starting center position. He's not going to score much. He's going to get a lot of rebounds, block shots, knock some people down. Then the power forward, obviously, Amari Stoudemire. That's, you know, no doubt about that. Small forward, Danilo Gallinari. Easy. Now, shooting guard's a little tricky. You want to go with Wilson Chandler, not a, you know, a prototypical shooting guard, but played the position pretty well last year. Even when the Knicks had that big, you know, played well in December and January, Wilson was the starting shooting guard, even though Will is more of a natural of a three. Start Will at the two, or do you start Roger Mason? Probably because Azubuike looks like he's not going to be ready for opening night. Do you start Roger Mason, who is a natural shooting guard at that position? I'm going to go with Wilson Chandler because I just like the way that fits, and Raymond Felton at point guard. So as of right now, my starting lineup is Raymond Felton, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Amari Stoudemire, Roni Turioff. Now, excuse me, if the way things shake out in preseason and training camp and the Knicks decide to go a little smaller and, you know what, Amari's going to play the five, which Amari's done for more than half his career, Amari's played the five, then my starting lineup is Amari at the five, Randolph at the four, Danilo Gallinari at the three, Wilson Chandler at the two, Raymond Felton at point guard. Now, in a perfect world, Eddie Curry is a starting center, but, I mean, that's a really perfect world, like Method Man said. I like this world. So, what do you think about those lineups? Do you have another lineup that might start? Maybe as Azubuike gets ready, he's a starting shooting guard with Wilson off the bench. I think Wilson is a starter in the NBA. I don't like Wilson Chandler off the bench because I like Wilson's a really good player. He's a guy who I think could maybe even average 16 to 20 points a game for his career. But he's not a guy that's going to get in the game and light it up right away. And that's what you want from your bench guys. And that's the type of player that Azubuike can be. And that's why I'd almost like Roni Turioff better off the bench, because he can come in and bring energy. But that's just how I see it right now. Could things change? Of course. Could Mozgov come in and be the starting center? Maybe. I just got to see him play more. Mike D'Antoni's got to see him play more. You know, so listen, let's go out to you and see what you think about that. 646-478-5554. Back to the phones, and let's go to area code. Oh, it's actually, right now, on the line, he's a former New York Knicks two-time All-Star. He's also the assistant general manager of the New York Knicks. He's got his Father's Knows Best basketball camp coming up this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun that I will be coaching at, by the way. And please welcome to the show, Allen Houston. Allen, what's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for giving me a couple minutes tonight.
Good, brother. Good. How's the show going?
The show is going good. You know, I tell you what, Alan, considering, you know, New York is dominated by baseball and stuff over the summer, this show has been, it's been crazy over the summer. The Knicks fans, they fiend for it, man. They truly fiend for the Knicks talk.
That's good. That's a good thing.
So fans are definitely excited, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, before we get into the Knicks stuff, about your camp this weekend, because I think it's great. I've coached at it last year. And what gave you the idea to do Father Knows Best? Because a lot of players just do regular basketball camps. You could have done that. What was your idea to have the way you have your camp set up?
Really, it was the uniqueness of the relationship, the dynamics of my relationship with my father. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people who may not know, I played for my father at the University of Tennessee. He was a 13-year assistant head coach in the 80s. So he coached at the University of Louisville and recruited and became a father figure, coached and mentored a lot of NBA players along the way. So by the time he coached me, you know, I had grown up with the game. But, you know, the thing that we really base our camp theme and curriculum on is the fact that the fundamentals that I learned from him went way outside of the basketball lines in court. And so to me, as a young man and coming into the league and coming into just trying to find out who you are as a young man and how you're going to be effective and win in life, there are just certain fundamentals and characteristics that you have to carry with you. And those are the things that we try to teach, because as a father, you have a huge role, not just, you know, providing food for your family, but providing a legacy that your kids and your nephews and your whole family structure is going to want to live under and be blessed under. And I think that, you know, we just take it a little deeper, and I think we kind of put it in a way where the families and the kids and the young men enjoy it, because it's truth. You know, it's not anything that we made up. It's something that's been here since the foundation of the world. It's just that we're kind of putting it in a language and a format through basketball that's fun, that's creative, and we've been blessed.
No question about that. And you also stress mentors and mentees as well, because a lot of kids don't have their, you know, exact father in their life, and you also have a lot of mentors and mentees as well at the camp.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of – listen, the core – the reality is that a lot of young men growing up and women without their dad. You know, that's just a fact of it's just a mathematical, it's a fact and it's a truth. And in order for, you know, our society to kind of understand the impact that's having, you still have to have people who are stepping up and still taking that role upon. And there are a lot of people doing that. And so, again, the format that we do, we just have basketball be the main attraction, but at the end of the day, there's certain fundamentals you have to learn and to carry to win, and those same things in life, and we have our curriculum and theme based around that. We have shooting competitions, we have a father-son mentor-mentee basketball game, we have a three-point shootout, and so, you know, our goal is to make sure that this program, not just a basketball camp, but a real family building and, you know, family structure enhancing program is available throughout the country.
No question. And you do a phenomenal job with that stuff. Now, I don't think it's fair sometimes if you and little Al get in a three-point contest, though, Alan. I don't think you should be allowed in a three-point competition. I think you guys won it last year, right?
Well, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way where we can participate, but maybe not take the trophy. Maybe we'll figure out something. You know, you put it on the spot. So, you know, we'll figure out a way to make it. We've got some good shooters that come through there, though.
No, definitely. There definitely is. No doubt about that. And you mentioned, you know, without fathers. You know, I didn't have a father growing up, but I was doing the same thing with my little sister, like being her father figure in her life. So, you know, you're right about that stuff. It's just a mathematical fact.
Yeah. And by the way, I've been praying for your little sister, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Do you know about, I know I emailed you. Did you get that story about the photo and the photo I put up and everything? Can I share it on the air if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Well, the first few days we were in the hospital, like, you know, I was just, you know, like all of us, my whole family, just messed up in the head. You know, she's just a little sick, and now you just find out she has brain cancer. So I'm just a wreck. It's like the second day we're there at Columbia. I'm like, what the hell's going on in my life right now? So I was just looking for something that could possibly give me strength. And if you've known me now for a few years and my friends that know me, what else gives me strength besides basketball? So I was just trying to think what could give me some positive motivation right now. And I took a photo of this photo of you making the shot versus Miami, and I put it above her bed that first few nights in the hospital. And we knew it was cancer, but we didn't know exactly what was going on yet. We didn't know if they were going to do surgery, if they were going to do chemotherapy. We just didn't know yet. And I put that photo in the room. It was the only photo on the wall of you hitting the shot versus Miami. And my sister, you know, she wasn't born yet when that happened, but I would just look at it, and I told her what happened that game and everything. And I just looked at it, and that photo gave me strength. And people were coming in the room visiting all the time. They asked me why. You know, no one was surprised to come in the room and see that photo up there because it was me. And I would tell them why I put it up there. They're like, wow, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? It's stories like that that really, you know, part of me is like, all right, man, that's over with. You know, you're close to 40 now. You know, get over it. That time is gone. But then there's another part when you hear stories like that that, you know, people remind you what that really meant. And to me, that's what the legacy of sports is about. You know, those moments, you know, where a kid grows up and he remembers it and carries it with him. And, you know, I think that in a situation like yours and your sister and any situation, it's faith. You know, it's faith that and hope that continues to get you through. And if it's a story like that, man, God bless it, you know.
No, no question about that. And that's one thing from day one when we found out the news. You know, you get down, you know, every now and then, and sometimes everybody tells you to stay strong, and sometimes you do get down. But she's the most positive of everybody between my friends and family. I mean, her spirits are so upbeat, you know, and I've been very positive, even though you get down a lot. And, you know, that positive faith, and everything's going smooth. Like, the thing is shrinking. It went from a baseball to a ping pong ball already, so everything is going smooth. We still have about a year to go, but the process is going good, and I truly believe that's because of, you know, positive attitude, strength, faith in God, and all that stuff.
Right. Well, listen, man, we're always going to continue to, you know, to keep that in prayer because it's real. Prayer is real. It's not something. It's not an empty act. You know, it does release some real things. So we're going to keep that. Prayer, and you know, we're gonna do it again Sunday when you do it in person. We're gonna do it when you see it.
No question about that. So let's talk some hoops right now. And Alan, training camp is 17 days away. I'm actually shocked right now. And first thing I really want to ask you, and I know a lot of fans don't want to look back, but I just like to ask you, man, because I haven't spoke to you since, you know, the madness of the first week or two in July. What was that first? So what was July 1st to July 10th like for you and the Knicks organization?
I mean, for me, it seemed like it was 3 months long. You know, it was constant. You know, it was up late at night, you know, talking to different people, planning it out, and just, I mean, to me, it was making sure that whoever it was that was interested, hopefully interested in signing with us, understood our plan, understood what Donnie had done over the last couple of years to get in this position, and understood, you know, the integrity and the character of what was going on, you know, and what we were trying to accomplish. You know, and my whole thing was, you know, we had you know, a long time since I had been here, and we had realized and we had been able to see what the heart of the Knicks organization, the fans, and the team really was. And it had been a while. And I believe this to this day, and I believed it then, that we are on our way to having that again. Now, of course, with Amari signing, that really set a tone because people immediately, players immediately were like, okay, now I see that this is real, and I may want to be a part of it.
Talking to Alan Houston right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, Anthony Donahue with you, taking you up until 11 o'clock. And obviously, Alan, the big fish was LeBron James. Didn't get LeBron James. We're moving on. It looks like, as of right now, with the way the roster is, obviously yourself, Donnie, always looking to get the team better. Do you see the roster as it is now being the roster that it will be on opening night?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have a lot of those spots. You know, when we signed, you know, Roger Mason and draft pick Andy Routens and Landry Fields signed, you know, I love when we were able to, you know, agree with Raymond Felton on coming here for a couple of years. Those were key. And so you're in a position now where Tony Douglas and Wilson and Gallinari, Anthony Randolph, all these guys have an opportunity to grow and to get better and to be in an environment where kind of a tone is established of a commitment, you know, a leadership. And, you know, so you lay it out there, you know, you lay the soil out there and you say, all right, let's grow. And I think that's what, you know, what has happened.
That's the guy I'd like to ask you about, Alan, is Raymond Felton. I watched him the last few years with Charlotte. I thought he played pretty well. I thought playing with Larry Brown offensively, he was probably held back a little bit. I think, personally, Raymond Felton's going to break out this year. What are your thoughts on what Raymond Felton's going to bring to the Knicks this season?
I mean, I agree. I think a lot of people will look at it as a breakout, but if you watch him in the past and you talk to him, he won't see it as a breakout. He'll see it as, you know what, I'm just doing what I feel like I could always do. I mean, Larry's a great coach, but a lot of point guards who play for him will tell you that it's a challenge at first because he's really trying to help you understand the dynamics of that position, and then you end up understanding and adapting. Well, now, you know, you're playing for someone in Mike who just left the point guard. If you're good enough, you know, play and run the show and make reads and make plays. And I think without him, without that signing, Amari, you know, it's going to make Amari a lot better.
Yeah, I agree to that because a lot of people are saying, well, can Amari play without Steve Nash? And I'm not saying Raymond Felton is Steve Nash, but Raymond Felton should be able to get the basketball to Amari in the right spots, and that's going to open up shots for Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Roger Mason. I really like the Roger Mason pickup, Alan, because I've watched him a lot the last few years. Doesn't blow you away with numbers, plays hard, plays great defense, and he has a knack for making big shots.
Well, he can shoot. I mean, he knows how to get to his shot. You know what I mean? What I'm finding is, you know, that whole two-guard kind of position is kind of, it's kind of evolving, but the whole knack for just knowing when to get your shot off and putting yourself in that position is key. And he knows how to do it. And, you know, and Kalen Azubuike, you know, he's getting healthy and he's, you know, he has some surgery on his knee. And our staff is doing a great job getting him back. And he's another guy that could come in that specific role and be very helpful.
You know who's a guy I think, Alan, the fans are going to love? And I see him at the Liberty games. Something about him. It is Roni Turioff. This guy seems like he's going to be a fan favorite from day one.
He's always been like that. If you watch him even at Gonzaga, you watch him, you know, especially with the Lakers. You know, it's funny because you watch who he is. You just see who he is. And he's not – he may not be the guy who's demanding all the attention when he's on the court with the ball. I'm telling you, he's just encouraging. He's always on the bench encouraging his guys. He will also hold the guys accountable. And, you know, he's one of those guys that can that in his own way, you know, will just hold the team accountable in a leadership kind of role. I mean, he's just a great guy to have.
How important is that for a young team like the team the Knicks are going to have this season?
Well, I mean, any young team, guys are trying to establish themselves and trying to see where they're going to have an impact on the team and in the game. But underneath that layer, there's a foundation of, you know, how do we come in every day and treat practice, how we treat workouts, are we on time, are we paying attention to the details, and all those little things just really enhance and make the situation better as a young player. And so I think that all of our young players are going to benefit from what happened this summer.
Can you tell me something about Mozgov? I've seen him play a little bit in the championships, but I don't know much about him. Can you tell me something about him?
Well, when he came in to work out, you know, we had seen him play, watched clips, and our overseas scouts were happy with him. He's got great size. You know, to be 7'1", he's not thin, but he's not, you know, it's not bulky and hefty either. So he's got good hands. He makes his size felt, you know, known, you know, especially on offense. Of course, you know, he's got to get better. He's young. He's 23 years old. But I think when you look at, again, what he's walking into, being able to play with some really good guys, I've always, you know, Donnie and I, and all of us have talked about this. You know, when you have better players and good players, it just makes all the other players better. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, when we were playing, and, you know, I was fortunate in my first 3 or 4 years, 5 years here, you know, our practices were so good because everybody's made each other better. So by the time everybody got in the game, you know, your level of play was just at a certain standard. So I would imagine that's going to help, you know, Tim right off the jump.
No question about that. I know everybody's extremely, extremely looking forward to the season. Alan, oh, and one last thing I'd really like to ask you. It's been on a lot of fans' mind. Very curious. Do you see any – do you think Eddie Curry is going to be a factor on the Knicks this season?
Well, I'm hoping Eddie comes into camp in a position where he can just play and have fun. I mean, you know what? I know, you know, it's probably easy for people to be critical and say, well, it's your job and this and this and that. But, you know, he's been through a lot of stuff, and I think for him right now, my goal is for him to, you know, get up and down the court, run around, sweat, you know, just get a feel for loving playing again, no matter what the next day has for you. And I think, you know, if he does that, you know, his body's feeling good. But yeah, now it's that time. You know, you got a few weeks. It's time to, you know, get it cranking and just get up and down and run and play and put it out there. And so hopefully that's what he'll do.
No, Alan, I agree with you. And I haven't been one of those really hard on Eddie guys either. I would just love to see, you know, I know he's a good kid, man. I know he can play. Like, I'm with you, Alan. I would love to see him come into camp. You know, I know, you know, it's hard just to block out what's going on in your personal life. Coming into camp, like you just said, have some fun between the lines, play some basketball, show some spin moves, some finger rolls, and some dunks. And a little defense here and there, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to, man. I mean, it really does. If it's not fun, you got to make it fun somewhere. You know, and I think that's where he is. And so, but I say that, you know, as far as his attitude has been good this summer. So, you know, we're looking forward to seeing what happens.
No question about that, Alan. And real quick, can fans still get involved for the camp on Sunday? Is there any website to plug or way fans get involved?
Yeah, you can. You know, they can just go to alanhouston.com right now. There's a very few limited slots available, but you know, I would just ask, just continue to pray for us, support us. We want to be able to come to different parts of the country and just different parts of the area, and because this is something that we can do, that can happen. So, you know, just continue to do that, and everything will work itself out.
Definitely, and thanks for coming on tonight, Alan. I'm really looking forward to being there over the weekend, coach, and helping out. I tell you what, last year was my first weekend ever doing it. I'll tell you, man, I had such a great time. I met so many great people. I got so much out of it being there myself, just taking the whole camp in. So, you know, if people can get out there and they're going for the first time, you guys are going to – everybody's going to love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, too. I appreciate you letting people know about it.
Oh, of course, man. I'll be there. I'll be ready to go. I'll be ready to outshoot you, man.
All right. You can shoot with your left hand, too?
Sometimes. Like, every now and then I'll shock you. I was playing some ball over the weekend over on 112th and Manhattan Avenue with Edgar and those guys, and I played pretty good.
All right.
All right, Alan.
You only got a couple of days, though.
Yeah, I only got a couple of days, but I'll be ready to go. I think I'll be ready to play. I'll be ready to outshoot you. And I don't coach any defense, so no defensive drills for me.
All right, Alan.
Take care, man. I'll see you over the weekend.
All right, bro. Take care. All right. Thank you.
You got it. That was former New York Knicks All-Star and current assistant to the GM, Alan Houston, right here on of theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Obviously, if you'd like to get involved with the Father That Knows Best program, obviously check out the website, AllenHouston.com. He said there's a few slots available, so if you'd like to hop on that, please do so. Heard what Allen said. He thinks Eddie Curry is gonna, you know, could possibly be a factor this year. Talked about a lot of other things. So let's go out to you. Let's take some calls. We'll be joined by Alan Hahn from Newsday in about 25 minutes, and in about 10:30 we'll talk to Edgar Burgos about his 2003 documentary of the Rucker Park tournament that is going all over the internet right now. Obviously, you can friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go back to you. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And let's go to area code IRSANT. You're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Tony. How are you?
How are you? Who's this?
It's Rafa from Brazil.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I like to listen to Alan Houston talk about Eddie Curry. But honestly, I don't think he will be ready.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, listen, I know he hasn't been up at the training center from what I'm hearing. We'll see. We'll see if Eddie's a good guy. Support him. I support anybody that wears the orange and blue. He has 1 year left on his contract. Hopefully, he can do something this season.
Yeah, maybe that's.
I'm not saying he's gonna. I said hopefully he can.
Maybe that's the problem. He's a very good guy and. He has to be a little bit mean to play basketball in that level. And in the other thing is, I don't think he wants. Maybe because of the money, because of his last year contract, but I don't know. I think he won't be ready. I think he has to bet in Timofey Mozgov. I have watched some games in the World Championship. I like him. He's a little bit raw, but I think he can be better in offense than in defensive side. He has to learn a lot in defensive side, I think. What do you?
Yeah, of course. He's very young too, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the other thing is that I think in the starting lineup that you were talking about, I agree with you. I think we have to go.
Which
to
one? I threw two out there. The one with Amari at the five, or the one with Roni at the five and Amari.
No,
at the
Ronnie.
Four.
Ronnie with the five, and Chandler.
Then Anthony Randolph off the bench.
Yes, I think
with Azubuki and Roger Mason and Starting Will at the two.
Imagine the running and gunning with Anthony Randolph and TD from the bench.
Yeah, I like that.
It would be a very good second unit, don't you think?
It could be. Listen, I think this team has a chance to do some good things this season.
And with Roger Mason and shooting the three to give some help, because I don't think Chandler with the two will be that good, but he last year he was good in the defensive side mostly.
No, I definitely agree with you, man. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for supporting me. Are we friends on Facebook?
Yes, I follow you. I don't know if you follow me, but I'm sure I follow you.
All right, well, hit me up. Thanks for the support all the way from Brazil, man. It means a lot.
Okay. Unfortunately, we lost to Argentina yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a tough game, but Scola, he scored 37 points. It was huge because it was 40 minutes of basketball, not 48 like NBA, and he
scored
37 points. So it was a monster, man.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in, as always.
Okay, take care.
Take care. 646-478-5554 is the number. Get on board. Let's talk some Knicks, baby. Get on board. Pick up your phone, dial 646-478-5554, and give me a call. Let's go back to the phone, 646-478-5554. And let's go to area code 646-523. You're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, Tony, what's up, man? Long time. This is T. How you doing, buddy?
T from the Bronx.
What's up, babe? Last time I tried to get in contact with you was around the whole LeBron fiasco. And, oh, my goodness. It was crazy.
It was rough to get through to the show, right?
It's been rough. I took a little break. I went on vacation and, you know, stuff like
how's
that.
How's your summer been? You ready for hoops?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely ready for hoops. I'm, oh, man. I can't wait. I'm going to be there opening night. Can't wait to see Amari Stoudemire.
You got your
tickets
already?
Oh, yeah, I got my tickets. I definitely got my tickets. Me and my son and the wife are going to go.
Okay.
You know?
Well, look for me. I'll be there. Section 23, baby.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. I've been reading your postings on Facebook about your sister. I've been keeping in my prayers as well.
Thank you very much, T. That truly means a lot, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And when's the event that you're supposed to host at the barbershop?
Sunday, September 19th. I'm still in the works of planning it. Word is, you know, I'm going to have Wilson Chandler out there. Hopefully, you know, I spoke to Wilson Chandler. I spoke to Patrick Ewing Jr., so, you know, my friend helped me out with Patrick Ewing Jr. So, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to have some fun. Come get your head shaved. Show support for my sister. And just hang out and enjoy it. You there, T? T, you there? Lost just. T. Guess we lost T. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com. TheKnicksBlog Radio. Let's go back to the phones. And let's go to area code 954, you're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, TheKnicksBlog Radio. Yo. Hello.
Hello.
You're awful. 646-478-5554. Let's try area code 347-685. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com. Hello. Oh, wow. Your callers are killing me. And I think we just got T back up. 646, you're on the air. Hello? T? 646-335, you're on the air. Oh, wow. Listen, I'm going to ban all your calls the rest of the night. Yeah, all right, come on. Y'all got to be ready to go. Let's go. Let's get it. All you callers, just hang up. You're doing me dirty. When you don't answer when I talk to you, you got to be ready to go. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, TheKnicksBlog Radio. Let's try this one more time. Area code 646-335. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, TheKnicksBlog Radio.
Thank God. Yo, you there?
I am here. I'm always here.
Wow. I was like, I thought I was going to cut off for like the fourth time. Man.
I don't know what was going on there.
Me, what's going on, big boy?
What's up? How are you, George?
I can't be no better, man. I'm looking forward to the 19th. Shaving my head. You can spray paint TKB radio on my head if you want.
Oh, boy. That'll be kind of intense, to say the least.
Hey, listen, anything for a good cause, I ain't got no problem with it. I ain't got no hair hardly anyway, so what's the difference for doing
something? No, definitely not. We'll have some fun. We'll have some fun over at the shop on Williamsbridge Road, Williamsbridge in Eastchester. And, as the event gets closer, I'll have more things planned. And I'm kind of all just throwing it together because Wilson and Patrick and whoever else comes, they can't really come at the training camp start, so I'm just trying to put it together as fast as I can. So when I have more information, I will put it out there.
My brother, don't take this personal the wrong way. You know I got mad love for you, respect for you. If it was for you, I would probably have a kind of a hard time shaving my head. But your sister, not a problem, my brother. I'm going to just leave it at that and no disrespect.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
That means for your sister, for a good cause, I ain't got no problem doing it. For you, you my man, shaving my head completely, I'm just trying to say I don't know. But for your sister, it's going to be a pleasure and an honor for me to do it. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. Ain't no thing.
You know, don't take it personal. You know I love you, Mr. Soprano. You know I ain't messing with
you. I'm not taking it personal. You don't want to do it for me. That's fine. Ain't no thing, George. We're still cool.
It is for you. It is for you, but it's for what else? You know what? Come on. You know how I feel about you. I'm just busting.
I know you, George.
Eddie Curry. Do we really have to hear his name?
Well, it's one of those. It sounded, it's one of those things I just had to ask about. Bottom line is he has 1 year left on his contract. Making $12 million, he does have some talent. Is there a chance the Knicks could use him or trade him? And that's a question I have to ask the assistant general manager, Alan Houston.
Not a problem, but if I was to ask Anthony using his common sense, if I was to say, Anthony, can you see Eddie Curry getting an NBA contract from a team next year?
He'd probably get like a league minimum, non-guaranteed training camp invite. But, you know, something like that. Maybe he'd get a guaranteed one-year league. Maybe he'd get a guarantee because he got a powerful agent in Leon Rose. Maybe he'd get a guaranteed one-year, $1 million contract.
I'll be glad the day that he's gone. You know what I'm saying? I just, it's incredible, man. Just his name still pops up. You know, I just, come on, you really think he's honestly going to do something now? Nah. But
Maybe. You know, listen, I'm not betting any money on any courage or anything. But
that's
listen,
I mean.
He's an NBA player in his contract year, so I guess you never know.
I'm with you on that, then. You never know his contract year. I'm with you on that. Now, when you was talking about starting your lineups, you know, in the beginning, what possessed you to say starting Turi for center? I know you took it back a little bit. He can't start a center on this team. It's not to be funny.
Who's
he's
that, Roni?
Well, yeah, there's no way in the world he can be our starting center this year. Come on, let's just be honest. There's no
Why?
Way in the world.
Of size?
Yeah, he's not. Come on, man. Size, and he's not that good to start at center.
He's a bench player coming for a couple of minutes. Without a doubt, he's a bench player. Without a doubt. But who else you starting at center? Unless you want to start
Amari. The guys that we traded David Lee for. These guys is Anthony Randolph, Stoudemire.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So you want to start, you want to go Stoudemire, Randolph, Gallo, Chandler, Felton.
I mean, wasn't that one of the big things that we talked about before? Was you said you talked to the Knicks that the Knicks inside want to become a little more of a shot blocking team, a little more of a physical team, a little more of a presence down there, correct?
Yeah.
Well, you traded David Lee to get Randolph here, so that's his job. That's be funny. I think it's supposed to be him, Amari, and Gallo.
Anthony Randolph better turn out.
I'm just saying, if Anthony Randolph, dude, and Izabuki, they better turn out. They all better have good seasons. They all better turn out to be something. That dude better block some shots. He better do something. That's what I'm just trying to say. Anthony Randolph, we traded David Lee for him. And I hear all this about him. See, the one thing I'm always leery about the Warriors and other players, if a cat is really that nice or you really that good in any sport, teams don't get rid of you. Teams don't trade you. If Anthony Randolph was all that, why did he go?
He got David Lee. I mean, it's not that Anthony Randolph's not good. In sports, sometimes you got to give to get.
No, I'm not calling
him. They might have liked Anthony Randolph, but they maybe just wanted David Lee more.
Okay, all right, yeah, that's true. And I'm just trying to say is I'm expecting something from him this year.
So you want to start Stoudemire, Randolph, Gallo, Chandler, Felton.
I
and then bring Torrey off the bench. I'm fine with that. I like that. That's fine with me.
I'm also like you, what you were saying earlier about we still got to wait until preseason comes. The preseason's going to happen, training camp, you know, that monster. We really don't know what's going to happen until that point when, you know, they go through and see who's playing well and all. I agree with you on those terms. It's still a wait and see. And I agree with you that Amari will be playing the five sometimes with Gallo when we go small and all. The one thing I agree with you big time is Wilson Chandler should start at the two.
He's obviously more of a three, but, you know.
I think he's in for a bust out year this year. For some weird reason, I think Wilson Chandler's making. I think he's gonna bust out big this year, man. I really hope that Donnie just keeps don't let him go nowhere. I got a good feeling about Wilson Chandler, man. I just got a good feeling about him. I just let him split up the two, like you said, Felton, Douglas.
You know what's weird about Wilson? I like Wilson Chandler a lot, and it's always it's not Wilson's fault. This is just how sports works. Is that he's always on the trade, you know, always talking about him being traded. But that's not a bad thing either, because when you're a good player and you don't make a lot of money and you're young, other teams are going to want you. So that's not a bad thing either. But I'd like to keep Wilson, but obviously in sports, you know, it's a business. So if there's a trade that can be made that, you know, makes the trade player X to get a player better, it's going to happen. Just sports.
So what is your, I mean, when does training camp and the season start? When does preseason actually start?
The first training camp starts in 17 days. The first preseason game is, I believe, October 3rd or October 5th in Italy.
Oh in Italy, right?
So yeah.
That was Gavin Abbey's going to be playing with Italy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So are the Knicks taking you with them?
I don't think I'll be making the trip, George.
I'm
That's Sunday,
sure
October 3rd, by the way. They're
with
playing.
All the connections you got and the big work you're doing, I'm sure you could find a spot on that plane. Come on now.
I probably could, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when it comes time.
So if they told you to go, you would go, right? You want to come, you would go?
Well, I mean, I don't really work. If someone got me a way to get to Italy, I will go.
If Mike D'Antoni said, listen, Anthony, you want
to
come to
Italy?
Well,
why is Mike D'Antoni going to ask me, George, before I let you go, why is Mike D'Antoni asking me to go to Italy, though?
You in all these pictures with him, you big time, you know him personally, you and him probably go over some plays once in a while.
George, thank you for the call as always. Thanks for checking in.
You got it, Anthony. When are you on again, next week?
Next Wednesday, yeah.
My brother Luke.
When the season starts, I'll be on like, you know, four or five times a week, but just doing once
no
a week
doubt.
Now.
No doubt. Listen, I just want – go ahead, talk to me.
No, and George, thanks for the call, man. And real quick, and I can play basketball. George, thanks for the call. Obviously, I'll talk to you next Wednesday on the show. I could play ball, I could shoot, but if there's one thing I'm not good at is X's and O's. So if Mike D'Antoni's asking me for X's and O's help, Mike D'Antoni's got a problem. 646-478-5554. I think I like that starting lineup probably better. Amari at the 5, Randolph at the 4, Gallo at the 3, Chandler at the 2, Felton at the 1. And I've been saying this all summer. I am very, very, very excited about Raymond Felton this year. 646-478-5554. Back to the phones. And let's go to area code 917. You're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, what's up?
What's up?
I was wondering what was happening with the Carmelo scenario.
What is happening? Well, I mean, there's a lot of different stories about how he wants to come to New York. He's not in New York yet. And when Alan Hahn comes on the show from Newsday in about 10 minutes, I'll definitely have him further the story.
Okay, so I was wondering why don't the Knicks just wait until the end of the summer to get him instead of giving up?
That's a great question. That's definitely a question. A few fans really hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. Why didn't I ask Alan Houston about Carmelo Anthony? Very simple. There's no point. You're not getting anything. He can't. He'll get fined by the league. That's a very good question. If Carmelo is that confident he wants to come to the Knicks, and the Knicks are that confident Carmelo Anthony is going to come to the Knicks, unless they win a championship via trade for Carmelo this year, it's probably better to wait till next summer, but we'll see.
Yeah, because I like how the team's looking this year. And
yeah, I'm excited. Like, how could you not be?
Yeah, and I think if Carmelo wants to be a contender, and he shouldn't have to give up pieces of the team he's going to trade to in order to be that type of team.
Yeah, that's fair. And we'll see. But if the Knicks give up Gallo for Melo right now, Carmelo's not going to not come because Gallo just got traded either.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. If it's like December, the Knicks are playing well, Gallo's dropping 20 a night. I'm not giving up Gallo in December when if Carmelo really wants to come here, the Knicks can get him in a few months.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Gallo could be the next Carmelo, we all know. We don't know.
You never know. To me, last year was his rookie year, so he's very young. We have a lot of time on our hands with that.
Yeah. So, do you think Mozgov was a waste of a contract? Or
no, I mean, he hasn't played a game yet for the Knicks. How can we say he's a waste?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Do you think you've overpaid him?
They didn't pay him much. No, I don't think so. Listen, ask me in February that question, and I'll give you an honest answer.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, right, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, man. Thanks for the call. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Alan Hahn from Newsday in about 10 minutes right here on theKnicksBlog.com. And let's go to area code 347. You're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, Anthony.
Yo.
Yo, what's good?
What's good?
What's good? It's me, Mickey. What's good?
Who's this?
It's me, Mickey. I called
Mickey
before.
What's up, man? How are you?
What's up, man? Yeah. I wanted to talk about my, Mozgov. What's that Russian dude?
What's that?
The Russian dude.
Oh, Mozgov?
Mozgov. He could ball, man. He could ball.
Like, I watched a little bit of the world. It looks like he can play.
Yo, he could ball. And I don't want to tag him as a starting center, but I don't think
we don't want to do that yet. It's early.
Yeah. I don't wanna overhype myself about him. I just think he could ball, but I definitely could get 15-20 minutes a night. He has to.
I would think so.
I truly don't like the decision you with Turiak as a center. I don't think he do
anything.
Yeah,
I don't think that's gonna happen. That's just one of my two starting lineups. As of right now, I think it should be Amari, Anthony Randolph, Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, and Raymond Felton.
You want Anthony Randolph to play for our center position?
Wow. No, power forward.
Oh, so you want Amari to play out of position like David Lee was?
Listen, who's playing center then? Is Mozgov going to be center opening night? You're confident in that?
I still have faith. If you know my calling, if I'm calling, I know I've been talked about this. I still believe Eddie Curry will come through a training camp. Yes, and all
well,
the rumors
well,
say he's not coming. He's not playing. He's been a ball.
Listen, if Eddie Curry can play like with his talent, then Eddie Curry's the starting center. But listen, I like Eddie Curry. He's a good guy, it would be irresponsible of me to come on this show and to say Eddie Curry is going to be the starting center, because I would just look like a dope. Now, if I'm right, then I can't say that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not saying he's not going to be.
You're right.
No way.
Everybody in New York.
I've seen Eddie Curry. I've been at Media Day almost every year the last 4 or 5 years. Dude, and I know last year, you know, came into camp in shape, and, you know, whatever happened, but I don't know. Is there a chance Eddie Curry's a factor? There is. Absolutely not.
I just think with him and Amari in that lineup, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of things that could be done. No, I'm not saying Eddie's going to score next.
If Eddie Curry gives you something. And if we're fifth, we'd all be drunk, too.
Yeah, if. But, like,
exactly.
But I just don't see Terriak at the with Amari. And I do not want to see Amari playing center in the lineup. I'm sorry. I really don't. I want to see him play in his position, power forward. Other than that, Anthony Randolph.
But if Eddie Curry doesn't give you anything, if Mozgov isn't great, you really don't have, you know, a true center after that. Terriak is not really a true center.
That's why I didn't like the decision that they gave the contract to Patrick Ewing Jr. Yes, I heard Alejandro. It's good karma, but you know what? Our team is more important than good karma. And Patrick Ewing Jr., I don't think he deserves to be in the 15-man roster. We should have got Bender.
Bender?
Not Bender. What's this guy's name?
Aaron?
He was on our team. Aaron Bam.
He played 10, 11 games, averaged maybe like 12 points a game. He's in his late 20s. He's been a journeyman. I can't take stats serious, and two types of things when it comes to basketball. Preseason games, a guy who averages 20 a game. Bottom line is teams in preseason are always going through the motions. And I can't take a guy's stats serious the last 10, 15 games if it's meaningless basketball down the stretch of a season. I'm not knocking Earl Barron, but I can't take a guy serious the last few games of the year if he's putting up big numbers.
I understand. I respect that, Anthony.
Look at Marty Collins in 2007. He put up crazy big numbers the last month and a half of the year, and look at him now.
Oh, my God, he's a bum. But what I was going to say is, the reason I say that, because we only have three real big men, like, to play center. And we really needed another big man. I just want to be big, because in the East, everybody's big except Miami. And that's what Miami's going to get screwed over. Mark my words. But the thing is, Patrick Ewing Jr., we got enough small forwards and shooting guards. Did we forget we signed, we got Bill Walker? Forget about Bill Walker.
Roger Mason.
Come on.
You know, you're right. There's a lot of guys.
We got Bill Walker, Akabuki. I really don't like Akabuki. Whatever it is. I really don't like him.
I've seen him play a few times. And Mickey, thanks for the call as always. Thanks for checking in on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I like Akabuki. He's an energy guy. Hopefully he'll bring some energy off the bench. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Try to get a few more calls before Alan Hahn comes on the show. Let's go to area code 864. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, what's up?
What's up?
Nothing much, yo. I just want to throw a couple quick things out there. Who do you think's the first off the bench? You know, if you got the five that you keep talking about.
The five with Amari at the five or the four?
Randolph at the five or Terriak at the five, either one.
Okay, that's because, listen, I would love, you know, it would be a great story if Eddie Curry came into camp and was the starting center. But, I mean, can I really say that's going to happen? I like Mickey.
Not worry about that. That's ridiculous.
Who's my first?
And what we really got, though, what do you think? Who's the first two, three off the bench? Would you have Mason? As a bookie, would you maybe bring Randolph in, maybe at a three or four? Who would you put
in
first?
If Anthony Randolph isn't starting, I would say Anthony Randolph, Mason, as a bookie, would be your first few guys off the bench, if Anthony Randolph isn't starting.
Okay. And what do you think about the Russian kid? I saw him on NBA TV.
I mean, I haven't seen him play that much yet. You've seen him on NBA TV a few times in the championships. He looks okay. I want to see him more. I want to see him against NBA players. I know it's
right.
A different position. I mean, I remember Carlos Arroyo in 2004 Olympics dominated, and he hasn't done, you know, much in the NBA since then. So I want to see, you know, Moz go up against some other, you know, some NBA talent. You know, not NBA talent. He's playing against NBA talent now, but in real NBA games. I want to see that.
Yeah.
We'll see that in a few weeks when the preseason opens up.
He's a big dude. I can't believe how quick he is, though. He's quick,
yeah,
man.
He is.
He's fast. Those shots, how he was getting up and down the floor. And he looks like he'd be able to play. So that's it. That's the winner's hour. Come on. How much longer?
Alan will be on in, like, 5 minutes.
5 minutes. That's what's up. Yo, I just hit my man up, too, so he just got on. He just texted me back, so he's listening, too.
All
it
right.
Does, Myrtle Beach.
Keep spreading the word, man.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Six, we got to keep spreading the word. It's you know, join the movement, baby. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go back to the phones and let's go to area code 718. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Right, Boogie.
What's going on?
Hey, yo, Vice. This is really good, baby. This is Chino from Woodstock.
Chino, what's up, man?
Chillin', baby. How you feel, baby?
How are you feeling?
Everything's good, man. Yo, I'm going to tell you my starting lineup right now. It goes like this. You talking about lineups that's most likely going to happen by D'Antoni or lineups that we see that we want for the starting five?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the starting five is going to be.
I think the starting five is going to be Felton, Wilson, Gallinari, Amari, and Turiaf, but right around mid-season, the only thing that's going to change is I think Turiaf is going to be replaced with Mozgov. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
if it was
a possibility, we got to see Mozgov play. I haven't seen him play much. I hope D'Antoni and Walsh have. I haven't really. But
it doesn't really matter how raw Mozgov is, because with all the attention that Amari is getting, he really doesn't need to do much. All he does
That's true.
All he does is need to plug a few holes, and the guard is going to love him. You know what I mean? And you can say what you want about Turiaf as a hustle player, and he's a veteran, but let's be real. This guy is moist trash on a summer day in Mexico. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, Chino.
And Mozgov, at the end of the day, Mozgov is 7'1". You know what I mean? And it's like, if you pair him up with Amari,
I've seen a lot of guys 7'1" that have played for the New York Knicks that have done absolutely nothing. Bruno Sundorf and some other guy. It was early in the 2000s. Slavik Vujanic and Bruno Sundorf were 7'+2", and those guys didn't do anything. Remember those guys, Slavik Vujanic? Listen, Chino from Woodside, thanks for the call. Appreciate the call on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. So I'm not saying, you know, Mozgov is going to be good or not, but don't say just because he's 7 feet is going to be good, because Slava Vujanic and I forgot the other guy's name already, Bruno Sundorf, they were 7+, and they weren't exactly studs. So right now on the line on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, he's the beat writer for the New York Knicks for Newsday, also the author of the Knicks Fix on Newsday.com. Please welcome to the show, Alan Hahn. Alan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Anthony, what's going on? Hey, don't forget about Skidizvili. That's the other name that comes up when you're talking about Russian guy, Russian big man who never made it here. That guy stands out to me as the biggest one of all.
What about, I'm not sure if he was Russian or not, that he was in the Marbury trade, Cedric Trabanski?
Yeah, there's just so many. It's so funny how if they talk about 7-footers are hard to find. They're actually everywhere. They're just good ones are hard to find.
Yeah, it's so funny. I don't try to knock the fit. Sometimes the fans, oh, he's 7 feet. Oh, 7 feet really means nothing. We've seen a lot of bad 7-footers in the league the last 10, 20 years.
But, you know what, the one thing, though, about Mozgov that I like is, I mean, I met him in Vegas back in July, and the one, you know, like when you see certain guys and they say 7 feet, they're probably really more like 6'10½". But this guy's legit 7'1". He's a monster. He's big dude. And you know what you're seeing in the worlds is that he's not a typical European big where it's all skill and not any grit. He plays with a lot of grit. He brings jam to the game. But you know, I just wonder if he's going to struggle with the other stuff. You know, the foul trouble. the game within the game. You know, it looks like mentally he's in and out a lot of times, and you know, I just wonder if you know how effective he can be right away. I think it might be a little bit of a learning curve for him in the first year, but you know, I mean, there's definitely potential there, especially in the system because he moves so well and he's just so long.
Alan, the one big topic of conversation we've had on the show tonight, because there's really nothing big going on right now, is, you know, what's the starting lineup going to be? And I threw two lineups out there. I'm not going to say Curry because I think that would just be Eddie Curry's going to be the starting center because he's proved that the last 5 years. But I got two different lineups, and you tell me what you think. First one real quick is Turioff. I'll go 5-1. Turioff, Amari, Gallo, Wilson, Felton, and my other one is Amari, Randolph, Gallo, Wilson, Felton.
Yeah, I mean, either one of them work. I think Randolph would probably, they'd call him a five, even though, you know, if you wanted to go really tall across the top, you know, you could do that. I mean, I like Ronnie Turioff as a backup because I just think a guy like that brings so much energy into a game. He's a perfect kind of guy to bring in, bang, get some rebounds, but you don't have to give him a lot of minutes. But it's hard to tell. I've been saying this all summer, so I'll be consistent with it, and I know you just kind of knocked it down, but I really still think Eddie Curry's got a shot here. And
I would love to see it. That'd
insane.
Be cool, actually.
Yeah. I you know what? The only reason why I keep saying is because, you know, a lot of people say this, and I agree. I don't think he loves basketball, but at this point, he's got to love money. And really, he has to have a good season. He's got to do something. If he doesn't, his career's over. I mean, never mind he might get a veteran's minimum contract next year. I can't imagine there's a team out there would even want to give him. If he has another season where he's never on the court, where he's always hurt, where he has low motivation to come back, if he has another year like he's had over the last 2 years, forget about it. Nobody's going to give him a contract. He'll be Michael Sweetney. And he literally can't afford that. So that's why I just think there's too much riding on this for him to just kind of accept, you know, well, I get hurt in the first day of camp, so now I'll just kind of milk this for a while and enjoy the per diem and sit back and hang with my buddies. First of all, he doesn't have too many of his friends left on this team. There's a lot of new faces and a lot of people that aren't going to put up with the old attitude that used to dominate that locker room. And, you know, so that's number one. And number two, he literally can't afford it. So that's why I just keep holding out. Look, he's the best center on the team. If you look at talent, he's by far the best center they have. So he has to play. And he's got to want to play for whatever selfish reasons or not. He's got to want to play. And that's why I just keep saying I wouldn't write him off right away.
Alan, I totally agree with you. I know. The only reason I didn't say him as in my predictions because we've seen what Eddie's done, and you know, Eddie's made me look bad a lot the last few years because I remember even a few years ago, like, oh, Eddie's gonna really break out this year. Remember, I think the one summer Mark Aguirre apparently turned him into a beast and comes into camp and he's doing his fadeaway dunks again. So I'm like, Eddie's a pretty decent guy. Like, he's easy to root for. It would be cool to see Eddie start. You know, and obviously we know he can play. He has talent. His last contract here in Chicago, 2004-2005, he had a pretty big season playing alongside Tyson Chandler. And I loved it. That'd be a pretty cool story for you guys, too, as well, if Eddie Curry came out, played good basketball with everything going on in his life and how bad he's been the last 5 years as well, huh?
Yeah. You know what? Again, people have to grow up. You know, and Eddie's 27. He'll be 28 in December. It's time to grow up. You know, and I think that's really where it's at. He's got I believe 5 children. You know, he's got mouths to feed. He's got a wife. We all know about his financial issues that he's finally, from what I understand, getting under control now. You know, there aren't any outstanding warrants. Obviously, that was twice this summer. You know, there were warrants for his arrest because of contempt of court. And, you know, he's had settlements left and right and lawsuits all over the place. All this stuff's been taken care of now. He's got people running his finances. He's got a company handling an accounting firm in Manhattan that's actually handling the finances. So the guy is not going to get himself into the ridiculous debt that he got himself in through this contract. Now, 28, he's got to have one more contract or, you know, multi-year left in him. You know, but a guy like him, you know, if you're representing him, if you're close to him, and now he doesn't trust a lot of people, and I don't blame him because he's been screwed by a lot of people. But this guy has to understand that with a new CBA coming up, you know, the golden goose is gone. You know, he got that when Isaiah gave him that contract. That was his golden goose, and he blew most of it. But he's not. There's not going to be that. That era is gone in the NBA. If there's a hard cap, forget it. There's no mid-level exception. That's going to be gone. So a guy like him has to understand that on the other side of the CBA, when there's a new deal in place, and that's when he'll be able to sign with a team after the new deal's in place, there's not going to be a lot of money left because it's going to be the haves and the have-nots in this new deal. The superstar is still going to make their big bucks. But guys like him, especially a guy like him where no one's really going to trust him, you know, there's not going to be much left to give those guys. So, like I said, the golden goose, the parachute, whatever you want to call it, that stuff's gone. And that's what he's going to have to now work for his money, and we got to see how badly he wants it.
I got one for you then. If Eddie Curry is ready to play, say it's, you know, opening night, he's ready to play, will Mike D'Antoni play him?
Because
there was some talk that, you know, that Eddie Curry could have played last year, but Mike didn't want to play him. Will Mike play him if he's, you know, ready to play?
I think so. I want to believe that because, hey, look, let's be honest. Mike's got to win too. You know, the honeymoon's over. This is his team. All the excuses are out the window. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Mike, and, you know, I'm not a guy that, you know, continually bashes him. But I also believe, though, that he's got to stand and deliver this season because he's been given kind of the cushion for 2 years. Well, you know what, this really wasn't his roster, you know, with the style of play he wants to play, and they were obviously waiting till 2010. Well, he's got a team now of players that fit his style, all right? Maybe they didn't get LeBron, all right? They didn't get the big star, but they did get one. They got a guy who was very successful playing the system under him a couple of years ago. They've got a point guard that can play in the system. They've got players like Gallinari who's got to take that next step now and develop, and Randolph who can definitely play great in this system. They have guys now that should flourish. So all the excuses to me are out the window. And so he has to succeed. And if you have an asset like an Eddie Curry, and he's healthy, and he looks good, and you don't play him because you don't like him, well, that's on you. And I don't think Mike will ever coach that way. I think the way Mike coaches, I think people misunderstand him. His whole thing is this: if you're in the boat, then you're with me, and he's fine with you. But if you're not going to be part of it, he just forgets about it. You know, he just cuts you off. You know, when Nate Robinson last year kind of went off on his own, doing his own thing and not following in lockstep, well, Mike just kind of shuts you out. You know, and you know, he gets criticized because he doesn't communicate, because instead of shutting guys out, he should try to work with them, be more of a motivator, but that's just not his style. I mean, his strength is in the X's and O's and in the breakdown of a game during the game. It's not in communication. I think we've learned that in these 2 years. So that's been his problem. But I think with Eddie, if Eddie's there and focused and ready to go, I think Mike has to use him, and I think he knows he has to use him.
Talking to Alan Hunter Newsday right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Obviously, this year, Alan, the team is a lot different than last year. Obviously, there's also not as many expiring contracts. Like last year, the team was full of expiring contracts. A lot of the guys in the team basically knew they weren't going to be back. So do you think that will help in, Mike, even just talking to players, coaching team, where you guys in the locker room? Obviously, there's always trade rumors. That's obvious, especially in New York. But most of these guys, for the most part, know they're going to be here at least for the next year or two. Will that help him coaching the team and the players playing together? Where last year, starting off, what was it, 1-9? No, the guys knew they were.
Yeah.
It was all about 2010 summer. We're now moving forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think also having somebody who's kind of a bona fide leader. I'm not saying that Amari Stoudemire is a leader of men, but the fact that people know, okay, he's the big money guy, he's the centerpiece right now, I think that's important. Guys that know that they're here for a reason, and it's more than just being a space filler. All the jokes about when LeBron gets here, things will change, you know, all that stuff. I mean, there won't be any talk about that. I mean, the one thing lingering, obviously, is the Carmelo Anthony stuff, and that still lingers. And, you know, every time Gallinari has a good game, is the story going to be how the Knicks have this good young player coming up, or is it, all right, Gallinari's playing well, will Denver now trade Carmelo for him? You know, I think that's the thing to look at is where – I honestly believe that D'Antoni would rather focus on going forward with this group and not worrying about who else they can trade for. And I know you'd think, well, the coach would want to have the best player possible, but I think they really like Gallinari that much and they really want to see what they can do with this team before they start thinking about what holes do we need to fill. Because quite frankly, the three spot is the least of their worries. The two and the five, to me, are the spots they really need to fill. And, you know, let's see what Felton does at the one before we start talking about Chris Paul and Deron Williams in 2 years. So, you know, I think you're right. The fact that now there's players who were brought here for the purpose of winning and being part of this, and there are players who chose to come here as well in some of these free agents that they brought in, I think that certainly makes a difference. But I still think it's going to come down to communication, because you still can't play everyone. And we know he likes to keep it to 8 to 9 players. So there'll be nights where the matchups just don't call for, you know, Turiaf to get a lot of minutes or Roger Mason to get a lot of minutes. And when Azubuike is healthy, well, what do you do there? I mean, how much do you play Mason? How much does Azubuike play? Tony Douglas has to play. Then you have all the wings you have with Randolph, with Gallinari, with Chandler. Don't forget about Bill Walker, who shed all those pounds and, you know, was hoping to get some minutes. I don't know if he's going to be able to crack it, though, because there's so much talent ahead of him. But, you know, you still got to manage these players and manage these minutes and keep some of these guys focused, you know, and not have the stuff like we did last year. I think the absence of the older veteran types, the McGrady's, I think really Larry Hughes was, you know, was part of a big problem. That was the sense of entitlement, you know, that came where, well, I'm here, how come I'm not playing? You know, and when you lose, that cry gets louder and louder. And I think that's the stuff you have to avoid. Mike has to handle that a lot better than he did last year. But I agree with you. I think having players who, A, chose to come here, wanted to be here, and understand their roles coming into this thing from the beginning, I think as long as that stuff stays consistent, and obviously there's some winning and success going on top of the leadership in the locker room, I think all that put together will certainly change the atmosphere. But the players have to take ownership of this just as much as Mike has to stay in communication with them. It's going to be a delicate thing, and obviously that's the one thing we have to focus on when we cover this team.
Alan, you bring up the shooting guard position, and obviously as of right now, you'd probably say Wilson's a starting two guard. And you say about moving forward.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think actually, you know, I think Gallinari really is your two.
Really?
On offense. On offense, I think he's your two. Because I just think Wilson, it really doesn't matter, because your two and three, in the way D'Antoni plays, right, they're really wings. They're not a two guard and small forward. They're called wings. So that's interchangeable, but go ahead. I understand your point.
Yeah, that's kind of like how we did it in high school. We had a point guard, like two guys in the wing and two guys down. There wasn't a center. It was like two guys down low, two guys in the wing
and
a point
guard. Two wings, two bigs. Right, two wings, two bigs, and a point guard. That's how you play at the schoolyard.
So then would you say Wilson Chandler as a future with the Knicks? Because that's what I was trying to get. Because I know Wilson Chandler's not a, quote, natural shooting guard. But if you say if they're going to go with the wing style, if they're successful, does Wilson Chandler have a future with the Knicks beyond, you know, this season? Do they look at him as a big part of the team?
You know what? I mean, I know that everybody likes him. I like him personally, and I also, you know, he's one of those guys. I'm trying to, like, as you were talking, I was trying to think of someone who would be a perfect example of a player that, you know, came up, you love him, you hate to lose him, but it's like somebody had to go for you to take that next step. You know what I mean? And I'm just trying quick off the top of my head. I can't. But there's always that guy that you have, and I think Wilson could wind up being that guy where, you know, you love him, but you have so much at his position and he's a valuable player that maybe, you know, you're going to have to use him as an asset at some point to get another player, to fill a, you know, a hole. Like, again, whether it's in a deal for a Chris Paul. Now, I'm not saying straight up. I can imagine right now the internet buzzing like crazy. That idiot Han thinks they can trade Wilson Chandler.
Straight up. Let's
straight
do it.
Up
I'll
for
do that.
Chris Paul.
I love Will, no. But see you later, Will, for that one.
Yeah, but no, I mean, everything's a package, but, you know, if you need to use them in any kind of way, you know, like here's a for instance. We all know Portland wants a first-round pick, and from what I understand, they want a high pick. They don't even want one that's protected. They want a high pick first round for Rudy Fernandez. Now, again, the two is a hole for this team right now. All right, it looks like it anyway. And you could probably trade Chandler for a one. I don't know if you could trade him for a one that's not protected in the lottery, but you could probably trade him for something, you know, for a first. But do you do that? Because essentially it's Wilson Chandler for Rudy Fernandez. Now, Rudy Fernandez is a good player. Obviously, he's got talent. But when you're talking about players you want to build with going forward, you know, Wilson's, he's coachable. He works hard. You never have to worry about him. The guy's in the gym all the time. You know, he's not going to get in trouble. I mean, I know the thing that happened in May got a lot of attention. But, you know, let's look at that one as, you know, one strike as for a 23-year-old who wasn't really making the right decision there. But, again, it's a player that you look at and say he's strong, he's tough, he plays hard, he can play 3-4 positions, and you never have to worry about him. If he plays 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes, you never hear a peep out of him. And
yeah, you're right.
You know, character is such an important thing that's overlooked a lot of times when you're building
a
team.
So what is Wilson, we talk about players taking the next step, Alan. What does a guy like Wilson Chandler need to do to take the next step? Because he's so quiet, like I always mess with him, like, yo, Will, call for the ball, man. Make two shots, Will, say, yo, Gallo, give me the ball. But he won't do that. I want to see Will.
Hey,
you'll call for the ball sometimes.
You're right. You and me both, because I've actually said it to Gallo. I even learned how to say shoot the ball in Italian. Terry LaPala. I used to tell him all the time. I see Gallo after games, before games, whatever. I'd say, Terry LaPala. He'd look at me and say, I know. I'm like, well, keep doing it. You know, you don't do it enough. And you know, Wilson the same way. And Wilson was on Knicks Night Live a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things he said was that we asked him, what are you working on? And he said, it was funny. He said, well, one of the things I'm working on is talking more, being more vocal, because he wants to be more of a leader. And, you know, it's funny. Believe it or not, this is fifth season. Think about that. I mean, it's hard to believe.
This one coming up is his fourth.
His fourth season, right. It's my fifth season. I get it's a little confused. But it's still 4 years now in the NBA. I mean, it is time for him to stop deferring and start, you know, feeling like, okay, I belong here now. And I think that's important for a guy like him. You know, again, as I said before, the previous element is kind of gone from this locker room now. And, you know, think about the holdovers. There's very few. You know, there's obviously there's Wilson, there's Eddie, and who else is left from the previous regime? All right, so
Wilson,
you know,
Eddie, that's it, really, yeah.
It's a lot of new faces, but you know, he's got to start feeling like, you know, taking ownership of the team, being more responsible for things that happened there, and setting a better example, and not allowing the things that have happened in the past. You know, when things go negative, everybody just goes down that road. Instead of someone trying to pull the team back out of it, don't let it go that way. And he's one of those guys, the few, that see what happens around that place when things start to go south. And you know it. You could see it coming. I remember David Lee used to tell me this last year. He would say it. Here it comes. You could see it. Here it comes. Because you knew it. You just could feel it. When things go wrong.
Like the season changing?
Right, as you just see, that the attitudes start to drift and go south, and it becomes more about me and less about we. And
well,
I think
that started when the ball went up in the air in Miami opening night.
in that third quarter, especially in that first game. But again, like the idea is this, is that, you know, Wilson by now understands it, and I think that's what I liked about it when he said he wants to be more vocal, he wants to talk more, because he knows that he's been around now, he understands it. He's not learning the league anymore. He's still learning the game, but he understands now. He knows where he is. He's got to take ownership of this thing. Gallinari's the same way. These guys are young, but they've been around now, and it's time they stopped allowing veterans and other people to dictate what will happen with this franchise, and you know, it's up to them. And I think Wilson's starting to see that, and hopefully that'll come out, because he does have, like we've seen it, he does have talent. He just kind of disappears.
Like
in
that
games
dunk on Garnett the year before, that was sick. And you didn't see that. Just kind of caught the ball and just dunked over Garnett. And they already dunked over him, and he just kind of like ran back, but like Nate got in Garnett's face. Wilson, you couldn't even tell that Wilson has dunked over a future Hall of Famer. Right,
yeah, but you know, but inside he was loving it, and that's the thing.
Oh,
you're like,
I hope
once you get to, when you get to know Will, I think that's when you realize that maybe on the outside he was stoic. But on the inside, you know, he was just going, man, that was crazy. Like, you know, that inside he was feeling it. And I think it's that, you know, look, we don't want him to go all the way to where Nate is, because Nate, I think, goes a little too far. But, yeah, Wilson definitely needs to show a little more enthusiasm that he does love to play. I think it's pretty clear he loves this game, but he needs to start showing it a little bit, because, you know, that, I think, is what elevates your game, too, is you get that energy going, that bounce going. And I think he's the type of player. I don't think he'll ever be like an all-star type player. You know, like there was a lot of comparisons early on to him and Sean Marion. And I think for him, he'll be the ultimate role player type. And I think those guys still have great value in this league, especially on a rebuilding team.
He was on my show last month, and I was like, Will, here's what I want you to do. The first time you dunk this year, he's like, what do you want me to do? I was like, just rip off your jersey. Just rip it off.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if you want to go that far. I would just like to see him just for once pump his fist. Just pump his fist.
I agree to that. Yeah.
I'll take that. Just pump your fist. Oh, no, okay. He's got a heartbeat. He's playing. You know, but I think it's in there. I don't care if he doesn't do anything. As long as the guy just plays hard and never backs down. And I think, you know, he's a valuable guy because he can defend big guards, Joe Johnson, a lot of those, you know, bigger, stronger guards. And you don't want him chasing the quicker, you know, twos, a guy like Ray Allen. You don't want him running around chasing him on screen. So those are the games that you try to use him against Paul Pierce because he can play physical against him. You know, and then there are games, and we've seen this, that he could definitely take on fours. You know, he's definitely strong enough. Hey, look, when they play Miami, who's going to guard LeBron?
No, you're right. No question about
Wilson.
That.
Allen, he's the only one on the team that can do it.
Yeah, no, he's always up for the challenge. Allen, before I let you go, because I got my man Edgar Burgos coming on in 5 minutes. I know you saw that part of that trailer today. It looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
Real quick, because the fans are like, you know, I shouldn't even know, sometimes during the show, I shouldn't even keep up the computer, because, like, the fans want to chat with you while you're on the air. I'm like, hey, I'm doing a show right now, watch out. But just real quick update on Serge, Melo, and Chris Paul. Like, you know, like, ask him about Chris Paul. I had Allen Houston on, and I actually even asked Allen about Carmelo, because, like, I just tweeted to the fans, I'm like, he's not even going to give you an answer, almost. Because, you know, you can, but, you know, you're not the assistant GM. You know, Alan just going to say, oh, we're, you know, they can't.
I like to pretend I am. I just like to pretend I'm the GM. But
yeah, and you can say without getting fined.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Well, what are we looking for now? We're looking for
updates on... what's going on, anything new. If not, then, you know, you're going to say anything.
Well, all right, look, Carmelo Anthony, we all know, to me, and I've said this, I'll try to be quick here. I said this during the LeBron thing, I'll say it again. Don't get played. All right, there's a lot of chatter, there's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of gamesmanship going on. We all know where he wants to play, all right, and don't let it fool you. He wants to be a Knick. He wants to play for the Knicks. There was a reason why there was so much talk in the late spring, early summer about this stuff. But because, you know, you make that stuff known, now the Nuggets are like, well, we're not going to send you where you want to go. You're going to give us trouble. We're not going to help you. So it makes it more difficult. The Knicks know they don't have a lot to offer right now. Denver knows that as well. They're going to look for a better offer. It's up to Carmelo to decide whether he's going to take an extension and take a trade somewhere else or say, no, I want to play in New York, so I'll wait till next summer, and maybe I'll lose money on the new CBA. And to me, that's the showdown right now. He doesn't want it to be on his shoulders, but the Denver Nuggets are going to put it on his shoulders. If he wants to leave, it's on him. So I think that's really where it's at. There's nothing the Knicks can do right now. They can't offer anything. They really don't have much to offer to begin with. They don't even have a first-round pick till 2014 they can offer. And we all know they have Gallinari and Randolph or whatever else, but those guys really have to play right now in this season to show themselves being worthy to be in that kind of a blockbuster. So, again, it's up to Carmelo. Does he want to take a trade, an extended trade to another team that Denver could maybe deal with, or will he just say, you know what, I'm not going to take an extension anywhere else, and I'll see if I can get to New York in the summer. Or if, you know, one of these younger players really stands out and Denver decides they want to make that deal. So I think that's where that one is. Chris Paul, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. There's still 2 years out for this one. They just traded away Darren Collison. So I think we can put that one on the back burner for quite a while, unless the Hornets really go in the tank this year and it gets ugly before the trade deadline. But I really believe that one, you know, is going to go cold real quick. And I think the Fernandez thing is what I said. I mean, the Knicks had a standing offer, 2 second-rounders. Blazers want unprotected first-rounder, which no one's offering them right now. You know, there's a very good chance that Rudy's going to end up staying in Europe, possibly, and not even coming back to Portland, deal with the fines, and, you know, maybe just end up playing over there. So that could get ugly. The Knicks have a need for him, but they're not, again, they're not going to overpay and try to work out, you know, give up one of these young players just to get a first-round pick to get him. So I think they're going to put the onus there on Portland to make a deal if they want to make one. That's really where it's at on these three things. I really think The roster right now is what you're going to see to open camp and probably what you're going to see to open the season.
All right, sounds good. Is there a fourth rumor going around, or it's basically those are the three guys everybody's been talking about the last few weeks anyway?
Yeah, no, that's really it. And you know, again, this roster is pretty much it, 15 strong. The best news of all, in my mind, is the fact that Patrick Ewing Jr. looks like he's going to make this team. And,
yeah,
I mean,
cool.
That's just great news. It's great news if you ask me.
Oh, it definitely is. I have no doubt about that. Alan, thanks for coming on the show tonight. Really appreciate it.
You got it, man. All my best to your sister, too.
Thank you very much. Means a lot, man.
All right. Take care.
Take care. That was Alan Hahn, Knicks beat writer of Newsday, right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Nice enough to give me a few minutes to talk some Knicks. Always fun to talk to Alan. Bring in the energy. Always got a lot of energy. So my man Edgar Burgos, he's going to be joining us in about 5 minutes to talk about his documentary on the 2003 Rucker Championship Series where Fat Joe's team beat Jay-Z's team. So documentary is available right now, and Edgar's going to come on with me in a few minutes to talk about that documentary. So until Edgar comes on, let's take some calls. 646-478-5554, and let's go to area code 954. You're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello? What's going on? You're on the air. You're not on the air. 646-478-5554. Well, it was nice talking to Alan about Wilson. I know Alan's pretty cool. You guys know I'm cool with Wilson Chandler. He's a really good kid. He doesn't really show much emotion, but I think Alan had a great line. And I don't remember the exact quote. Is that he? You know, like that dunk on Garnett a few years ago. Wilson loves the game. He might not, you know, pump his chest, but he really loves the game. The guy works his tail off. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's not a guy that's going to be dancing or doing anything like that. He truly loves the game, and, you know, is there a chance that he could get traded? Of course, I mean, listen, in sports, in basketball, in any sport, there's always a chance anybody can get traded. It's just how it works. 646-478-5554. If you're just joining the show, you just missed Alan Hahn of Newsday. He was on the line, and also earlier on in the show, Alan Houston, New York Knicks former All-Star and assistant GM, was on the show as well. So obviously go back, check the podcast for that, and check that. So the three main players that we talked about, Alan, that could possibly the Knicks are going to go after, Chris Paul, like you said, that's probably not happening because the Hornets traded Darren Collison. So unless the Hornets go in the tank, that's not happening. Got Fernandez, the Knicks don't have picks to give them. Portland wants picks, probably not happening. And you got Carmelo, which, like I said, if he really wants, and I said this as well, if he really wants to be a Knick, unless the Knicks are going to win a championship this year, you probably just wait it out. 646-478-5554 is the number. We got back to some calls in a little bit, as it's been a very busy show, as it always is here on TKB Radio, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And right now, on the line, he's a very, very good friend of mine. And he has just released a documentary on the 2003 Rucker Park Summer. The Rucker Park Summer, where Fat Joe's squad beat Jay-Z's squad. Some people were calling it on Twitter and Facebook that the video that Jay-Z does not want anybody to see. And right now, the man who put this documentary together, he did an okay job. Now I'm just playing. He did a great job. And please welcome to the show, Edgar Burgos. Edgar, what's going on, man? How are you?
My man, Ant, man, you're doing it, man. Alan Hahn killing it. Alan Houston, you're about to take over the city.
Oh, man, I really think, actually, for my picture for the show, they should probably just put a picture of me on top of the Empire State Building, like King Kong.
And I say, you know, everyone says Spike Lee's the biggest Knicks fan, but, you know, I see you at the Garden. You are the biggest Knicks fan by far.
You get nervous
during preseason. It's crazy. Me and you play softball this weekend. It was exciting. You go all out. I'm telling you, people, when Anthony says he's playing softball, you better show up because it's going to be a classic.
or when I play football.
Yes, that is the truth.
Yeah, I tell you, man, one thing I've learned about, you know, I've been almost the media now for 5-6 years now. And I'm still the biggest fan in the world, but I keep it professional when I have to, but I'm still a big fan, and that's not going to change. And, you know, just having fun, enjoying it.
Yeah, that's the way to be. That's the way to be.
So hopefully we got a fun season coming up. But let's talk Knicks right now. Obviously, you've got your documentary that has just been released, and it's, you know, the web got a hold of it. You know, I compare this right now because this has been one of the hottest. You know, this right now has been one of the hottest things on the internet all day today, and I compare it, I guess, like kind of like if a single, if you know, Jay-Z got a hot new song out and didn't even get to Hot 97 yet. But or 105.1, but it got to the internet and it's buzzing. Well, this is what this has been going on the last 24 hours. It's buzzing right now. And for maybe those people that are just basketball fans that maybe don't know much about Rucker Park, that have heard of Rucker Park, give them an overall view of what is this documentary about and why will Hoops Junkies just love it?
Pretty much in 2003, I documented the whole basketball season at Rucker Park where Fat Joe was the defending champion in that year. Jay-Z brought his own team in, and, you know, he had, like, many stars, Lamar Odom, LeBron James, Jamal Crawford, Eddie Curry, Kenyon Martin, and Sebastian Telfair. You know, it was the star study. He brought Beyonce out to the park, Puffy. You know, Fat Joe had, you know, Stephon Marbury. He had Al Harrington, Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire. Yeah. So it was, I mean, that year was one of the best seasons I've ever seen for a summer basketball tournament in the streets. It was incredible.
Did you know before the summer started that you were going to do this documentary, and did you know it was going to be that big?
No, I didn't know it was going to be that big. We were just shooting it, and as the season went along, you know, I was like, whoa, this is a special season. And when the season was over, and the climax was the blackout in 2003 when there was supposed to be the championship, and that day got crazy, and, you know, Shaq was supposed to play, LeBron was supposed to play, Tracy McGrady, and, you know, the blackout happened, so the game never happened that day.
Oh, wow.
So we documented that whole season, so if you guys want to, you know, buy a copy, check out the trailer, go to www.
I was going to set you up for that, man.
Yeah.
That's a good radio, so I'm supposed to say, is there a website where fans can go purchase the copy?
Yeah.
Right, let's go.
TheBlackout.tv. TheBlackout.tv.
Sounds good. I'll post that on my Twitter page, and I'll post that on Facebook. So you fans, if you forgot it already, I'll post it to my Facebook and Twitter page. And you guys click on that, and you guys give, you know, order it.
Yeah, so it was kind of crazy last night. Well, last night got leaked on one of these internet websites, and I got a call in early, like 1:30 in the morning, and LeBron tweeted it. Like, you know, he saw the blackout, you know, he said he enjoyed it. He wished he would have, you know, he was supposed to play, but obviously it didn't happen. He was like, man, if that game would have happened, it would have been crazy. And my phone's been ringing off the hook ever since, you know, LeBron tweeted it. So, you know, thank you, LeBron.
did Kobe play that summer?
No, Kobe played in 2002.
Oh, okay.
So we actually have footage of that playing. We interviewed Kobe about it and stuff like that. So, You know, President Clinton came out there. It was definitely a special, you know, 2 year run by Rucker, you know, at the EBC. You know, so people need to go check it out. It's you know, it's where real fans go. You know, NBA guys show up. You know, you never know what star will show up. So, it's not because I did it. You know, it's a real good documentary.
No, definitely, and you're not the type just to, like, you know, post yourself. Like, it is a great documentary. I think fans will love it. I know so many fans that follow myself, and you love basketball, love hoops, and maybe if, you know, you're just gonna love it. You got so many guys in there, LeBron. I know Knicks fans might not want to see LeBron in the video, but there's a lot of other guys, and people are gonna enjoy it. And just now, here's the thing that a lot of people are talking about: the Fat Joe and Jay-Z. Was that serious with those two, or was this an act?
No, it was serious. Joe's a good friend of mine, and you know, that they used to be friends, and then, you know, they became, you know, adversaries against each other during that season. You know, they both very competitive people. They both wanted to win, and after that whole thing, they just stopped talking to each other. And Joe explains in the DVD why they don't talk no more. So it's interesting. Like, you know,
they
it's just spoken how these guys.
7 years now.
Yeah, they haven't talked since for 7 years.
So do you think now that? I mean, obviously, a lot of hip hop fans know that Jay and Joe maybe haven't spoken in a while, but now that it's public and people know why they haven't spoken, do you think there's a chance they might break bread now though?
I think they'll break bread eventually. They should break bread eventually. I mean,
they both, you know, I mean, Jay's a mogul, you know, Fat Joe, you know, he's a great rapper, and, you know, he's a great businessman, too. I think they should break bread. I mean, Joe, to me, is one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, by far, you know? And that's one thing I could say. You know, Jay's cool, but Joe is, to me, Joe, you know, Joe shows love to everybody, man. You could walk up to him, and he just shows you love. It's incredible.
You know what I'd like to ask you, as a Knicks fan and as a New York City basketball fan, what tell me about the buzz in 2003. I know he wasn't a Knick yet, but how much is, like, respect and how popular, you know, Stephon Marbury was 7 years ago and where, you know, what happened to him now?
It's crazy, man. I mean, him and Joe, they still the best of friends.
Oh, they're still tight?
Yeah, they're still tight. Steph and Joe, they're still tight.
Oh, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, they're still good friends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, and like, you know, right now, you know, everyone gives Joe credit for helping bring Amari. You know, him and Amari is pretty tight. And it's funny because we actually, you know, Amari actually came out for Joe, you know, to watch a couple of basketball games that season. You know, he was the rookie of the year. And he came out to Rucker to watch a couple of games. You know, we got that on the footage.
That year, 02-03.
Yeah.
And then how come Joe couldn't get to Steph over those last few years when he was a Knick then?
Well, because Steph was in his own world. I think the thing with Steph is he had a lot going on. Family, you know, when his father passed, it went downhill for him after that. You know, and then, you know, I think him, this whole China thing is kind of bringing him back to life. And, you know, that whole, you know, he's thinking about his sneaker line. And you know, he became a businessman. So I think he's fine in China. You know.
Yeah, you know what's the thing about Steph? I don't know him. He's like the only Nick I don't know the last like 10 years that I never got to talk to. I was actually scared to go up and say hi to him. And you know me, Edgar, I talk to everybody. And I find it fascinating. Maybe that could be your next documentary. You know, I find it fascinating, like the rise and fall of him for some reason. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm in my own loop with that one. To me, I find it fascinating.
Yes, I totally agree.
Wait, what do you agree on? It's fascinating or me in my own world about that?
No, that it is fascinating. And you in your own world about it. You know, but I just think, you know, I look at the whole Steph thing, you know, Joe, I think it's just, like you said, I think it's just fascinating.
No, it definitely is, and the DVD is definitely going to be flying off the show. When did it officially get released, though?
Well, we wasn't going to release it yet. After this whole buzz, people have been hitting us up. So, like I said, you know, like you said, when you plug it. No phone number. You just go online, theblackout.tv, and you can purchase it from the website.
Is there any, what else? Give me one more interesting thing about the DVD that people are going to like.
Just the whole trend and how everything, like, pretty much started, like, in Harlem at that park, and all the celebrities, like, people don't realize how many celebrities actually go up there just to watch a game or perform. Chris Brown, before he made it big, you know, he did his first song at Rucker Park, and we got that. You know, Alicia Keys going up there having a team, Master P, you know, Jermaine Dupri, like, all these people, and you're like, why would all these people go up there? And they just go up there. It's amazing.
Do you consider Rucker still as the buzz as it did, say, 8, 9, 10 years ago?
I don't think it has that buzz from
Why?
7 years ago.
Star power?
Yeah, star power. And, you know, that's, you know, the star power. But this year, this past year, there was definitely a buzz with the, you know, the Nike. They had the World Basketball Festival there, and the court looked amazing. And Kobe came back to the park, and Michael Jordan even showed up. And, you know, I think the buzz is back, and next year they're going to be even bigger.
Sounds good to me, man. Edgar, I want to thank you for coming on tonight on the show to talk about your DVD. I think it's great. I'm so happy that people are buzzing about it. It's pretty cool that, you know, LeBron tweeted about it. Anytime you can get, you know, the most popular player in the NBA to, you know, recognize something that you've done, that has to be a great feeling. When it happens to me, I'll let you know. And
I just feel crazy.
Yo, when LeBron says, yo, that Anthony, he can talk. You know, so, no, but seriously, man, all the best to you. I wish you continued success, and I'm acting like I'm not going to talk to you anymore after I hang up right here, but you know, great job with the DVD, and obviously all my fans, I want you to go order it and all that good stuff.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Once again, you're doing a hell of a job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Later.
Take care. Right. That was Edgar Burgos, the author, narrator, everything of, well, not the narrator, actually. That's Mike Hill. But, you know, the man behind the DVD. So go to that website, blackout.tv, and order yourself a copy of the DVD, The Summer of 2003 at Rucker Park. Going to wrap up the show tonight. It's been a great show tonight right here on theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I appreciate all the fans calling in. I appreciate Alan Hahn, Alan Houston. You guys are great. I want to thank you for coming on. Thank you to all the callers, all the fans. Without you guys, I am nothing. Once again, thanks to Alan Hahn, Alan Houston, AlanCan.com, Wednesday.com, Open Check, Blackout.tv for them. DVD, have a good night. See you next Wednesday.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.